Welcome back to another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Econ.
As usual, I'm Max.
I'm Nikki.
And I'm Econ.
And together we're Max, Nikki, and Econ.
Should I say, and I'm Nikon, or should I say, comma, I'm Nikon, so that the last thing is an and, together we're.
Oh, that's a good question.
I think I usually just do comma.
No. Nikon. You say, and I'm Nikon, because it would be like they're two separate kind of parts of the phrase. You know what I'm saying?
But I think it works if he just says, comma, I'm Nikon.
It depends on the inflection, right? Because it's like, I'm Max, I'm Nikki, I'm Nikon, and together.
Or it could also be, I'm Max, I'm Nikki, I'm Nikon, and together.
Well, that he just did that.
I kind of did that. You're right. Never mind.
Or you could just go, I'm Max, I'm Nikki, I'm Nikon. You know,
period,
and together.
Yeah, that's what I meant to do.
Yeah,
I did.
Well, either way works. As long as I have approval on both options,
you have approval. Yes.
Okay. Great.
Great. So, how are we doing, Nikon? How's it going?
Not bad. Hey, let's roll that. I was trying to segue into Grammar Corner, but it was just too. The moment was lost.
Whoa, that would have been. Okay.
Well, because we were doing grammary stuff. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. That's true. That's right. You're right. We were doing grammar stuff.
Yeah, but the moment's passed.
But I will tell you, man, I went outside today. I went and got lunch with a friend, and it was such a beautiful day. But then I don't get bad allergies like Nikki does, but I just started having really bad allergies.
You do get bad allergies.
No, but not as bad as you. I don't normally get allergies this bad, but my eyes started itching, and then I started feeling something in my nose, and I started coughing, and I was like, oh my God, I got to put my mask on, actually. It protected me from the elements, but my eyes are still itching.
Shoot.
It's particularly bad for me right now. I fear going outside.
Do you mask up? Do you mask up going outside?
Just I have been, yeah. I don't pollen. Like to do that because it's, you know, warm outside, but
yeah, that's
it
the
helps.
Worst.
It's also nice to feel, you know, it's nice to feel the breeze on your face.
Or the sun.
And also
you
look like a hypochondriac who's still like obsessed with COVID.
Well, I'm okay with that.
I do not talk down about people.
I'm okay with doing that inside.
I'm not
too.
Talking down. I'm just saying it's also, that's another thing.
Well,
I mean, I still wear masks inside depending on what the situation.
Depending on the situation, right, yeah.
I don't judge you for that. I'm just saying it does. Wearing it outside in the middle of the
outside,
summer.
Wearing outside seems a little weird. It just seemed a little weird, but I was like, I got to do it.
It's like you haven't read up on the updated science since the first week of COVID.
Sure.
Your mask outside.
I just was like, my allergies are just hitting me so hard right now. I need to do
this. It's pretty tough out there. It's hard out there for a pimp, as they say.
What if a pimp had allergies and he couldn't be on his like street corner because he's like, I can't do this. I gotta go back inside.
My allergies.
Do you not get allergies, Nikon?
I do sometimes. It's not like it's very a few days out of the year I'll have like a really bad day. Other than that,
sure.
Georgie girl.
Hey there, Georgie girl. Hey there, blimpy boy.
Did I just zoom in on my own camera? What is happening?
You sure did.
Can you?
You did?
What's happening? Yeah.
What?
I don't know how to.
Oh, on Instagram?
I think you might have switched.
What the heck?
I think you might have switched
the angle.
The angle.
Yeah. All right. There we go. There I am again.
Hey there, blimpy boy.
That was intolerable. What? Station business?
We didn't do that yet, but okay.
No.
Station
I was
business?
Kind of prompting you to do.
Station
bum,
business.
Ba-dum, station business.
Okay, we got any business coming up? Nikon?
Sorry, Nikki.
The only business, you know, again, as a partner in this proprietorship called Onus Optics, that is the business I am slanging these days.
Onus Optics, check it out. Folks,
get your nose umbrellas. You need an umbrella for your nose to protect it from the sun and
the elements.
For that.
we have another Vintage Basement show coming up next month. We are not exactly sure of the date yet, but look out for that in the coming weeks. We just had a Vintage Basement this past Saturday. And prior to the show, man, my allergies were going off, speaking of allergies.
How'd you get through the show?
What's that?
How'd you get through the show with your allergies? Did you have
It was inside.
It was inside. Okay. I'll tell you, it really hit me after the show a lot worse.
Ah, that's kind of lucky.
And, you know, of course, we sing on our shows, and my throat was itching, you know, how you get an itchy throat from allergies.
Yeah.
Well, that was
what do you do to resolve your itchy throat? Do you do any, how do you, what do you do to,
what do you do to scratch your itch in your throat if you have allergies?
I just drink water if I have access to it. Ideally with bubbles.
And excuse me if this is annoying to the audience, but do you ever go?
Not if I can. I mean, it depends. Like if I'm in a not like.
What do you do, Max?
I do this. This is what I do.
Oh, that's so annoying.
I can't even hear it.
You can't hear it?
No, he wouldn't be. Hi, Cammy.
Oh no, you can't hear from.
Well, I go like, I do that.
Let me go here.
What?
Can you hear that?
You do that? You do that? That that's does weird. Something?
Folks, if you're just joining us, we're talking about itch. How to scratch an itch due to allergies. And
no,
that's
in
a
your
weird
throat. Scratch your throat. Scratch your throat itch.
And that works.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's weird
that's
to me,
pretty
too.
Cool. So you have like you're basically treating part of your throat as like a little finger.
Well, it kind of
scratch has to, the other part of your throat.
It involves, yeah, something like that. Yeah,
all right,
something
well,
like that. Yeah,
I can't even do it if I. I might choke.
Well, it involves your tongue, sort of in a way. Like it's like you're.
Oh,
pushing.
That's a good one. Cammy said, "I just cough it out." That's a good idea.
A great idea.
Anyway, hey Bryce. Anyway, okay. So, station business pretty lean today.
Very lean, I'd say.
Oh, lean. Yeah.
Any? Okay, so that brings us right to Grammar Corner. Grammar Corner.
I got
Grammar
a couple
Corner.
Of gripes. Oh, sorry to cut off the jingle.
You can't cut off the jingle.
Do it again, Nikki. Do it again.
Grammar Corner. Grammar Corner.
There it is.
I got a couple gripes.
Go ahead.
Since you were being all braggadocious about how you went to France once when you were in college, I studied. I don't just
there for a year.
I studied abroad in Italy. And,
oh, you did. I didn't even know that.
And
actually.
Well, I shouldn't even premise it. I shouldn't even preface it by saying this, because you need not have studied in Italy to know these things that just piss me off so much. Okay, first of all,
how long were you there?
I was there for about a year.
Okay.
They're all food related. They're all pronunciation related.
Sorry, where did you study in Italy?
Bologna. It's not important.
Well, it's important.
It's important
to me.
It's important to me.
It's
pronounced baloney. Thank you very much.
I studied in phony baloney, Bologna, for a year. It was
great.
You
got some of that bolognese sauce.
Let me finish the story.
It's bolognese, actually, which is
oh,
a good,
excusez-moi.
Yes, it's actually excusez-moi. It's actually scusi. Okay, how do you pronounce there's a food that's usually served
pizza.
as an appetizer, little slices of
bruschetta. I say bruschetta.
I say bruschetta, personally.
Why? Why do you say bruschetta?
Because just I learned that as a young, that's how I was, my mom said it that way, but I know it's bruschetta.
Max learned it as a young lass.
I know that it's bruschetta,
hey.
Right?
It's bruschetta. No, and you don't have to do the bruschetta. But it's
bruschetta.
Definitely not bruschetta.
No,
I know. But it's like, why do it then? It's
okay.
It just sounds.
Okay.
Can
I say this?
Okay.
Can I say this then?
There's a lots of things.
There's a lot of
scenes
for French too
that.
Then. Why
sure.
do we say crepe and not crep. It's very easy to just say crep.
It's very easy to say bruschetta. You don't have to say bruschetta.
But what I'm saying is
bruschetta. But you can say you can put make the sound
bruschetta.
Bruschetta.
It almost sounds Russian.
There's an SNL sketch from the early 90s where Jimmy Smits was hosting, and he plays like a Latino guy. He is Latino, obviously, and the whole office that he's in is white, and they're all ordering Mexican food, and they can only understand an order if it's overpronounced. Like, I'll take a burrito. But Jimmy Smits, who's the only Latino guy, he's like, yeah, I'll take a couple tacos and a burrito. And they're like, I'm sorry, I don't understand what that is. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I'll take a burrito. And he's like,
well, and they were like, yeah, I was just traveling from Los Angeles. And they kept like doing all these
overpronunciation. It's a funny sketch.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Bruschetta. I know. Hey, you know, side note, I have a great funny story when I was in Rome.
How did you turn his brag into a brag of your own?
Well, I wasn't bragging. I'm just saying, stop saying bruschetta.
No, when I was in Rome, I have a story about bruschetta.
Fact that Rome. Wow.
Or as we Romans say, Roma, right? Roma?
Roma?
Roma.
I was in Rome and I ate dinner. I had like some sort of gnocchi dish and it was pretty good, but I was still hungry after I left the restaurant. And I was like, oh, maybe I'll just stop somewhere and get like an appetizer. And so I did. I went to this little place and I ordered bruschetta. And the lady at the counter, she didn't speak English at all. And I was like, oh, bruschetta. And she's like, how do you say coffee?
Cafe.
Nescafe.
Nescafe.
Cafe.
Cafe. She's like, cafe. I was like, oh, no. She's like, Coca-Cola. I said, no, it's okay. Just bruschetta. And it was really cold. So I had a lot of layers on and I looked like some poor student though. I was unshaven. I was walking around with my plastic bag full of things. And so I sat down and she's like, okay, just a few minutes. And I sat down and a few minutes later, she brings out a Coca-Cola, some bruschetta, and what are those like balls full of cheese and or like maybe not cheese, but they're like a creamy thing.
It's kind of bigger though, right?
It's a savory thing, you know.
Oh, like an arancini.
Arancini, yeah. And she brought those, and she might have brought one other thing. I was like, oh, well, I just ordered the bruschetta, and she said she managed to be able to say, On the house. I was like, what? I was like, oh, wow, that's so nice of you. And I think she assumed that I was some poor student that couldn't afford more food. And so she gave that to me and I ate it all. And at the end of that, I was like, so how much do I owe? And she's like, free, it's free. I was like, what? No, I got to pay you something. And she brought somebody from the back of the kitchen who spoke English and he said, hey, it's okay. You don't have to pay. I was like, oh my God. I mean, thank you so much. It's so nice of you, you know? And it was one of those times where I just was like, man, there is some human decency here in the world, you know? Even though I could have afforded paying for it, they were really nice.
Very nice
Italians there.
Can I describe, since you had an experience, some nice human beings abroad. Can I describe a time that happened to me?
I guess.
So I was traveling in London. I went to London.
Oh, you were traveling in London. Like, because we're pronouncing everything else like that.
I was.
Yeah. Never mind.
I went to, not that I would normally do this, I'm not religious at all, but I just thought, oh, it might be cool to go. It was Christmas Eve. And I thought, oh, it might be cool and kind of somehow a very kind of English thing to do to maybe go to St. Paul's Cathedral, which is, you know, a really big cathedral in London for a midnight mass. And I thought, okay, that might be kind of cool. And I went there. And after it was done, I was kind of in a hostel that was kind of further out from the city center. And, you know, the trains had stopped running. It was Christmas Eve. I mean, it was actually Christmas Day technically at that point. And I was like, oh my God, how the heck do I get home? And a cab was going to be quite a bit of money. I even asked the policeman, he's like, I was like, is there a way, like, one of you guys can drive me back to this place? And they're like, oh no, sorry. I don't know. I can't really do the accent, but.
Oh, you're doing great.
He said, you know, sorry, we can't leave our spot here, you know? And I finally hailed a cab and I said, how much would, I had like 10 pounds on me. And I was like, how much would 10 pounds get me to? And he's like, probably to the end of the block. And I was like, oh, really? And he's like, all right, just get in. We'll see what we can do. And he kept driving me. And I was like, all right, like, I guess he can stop here and let me out at a certain point. He drove me all the way back to my hostel. And I got out and I said, how much do I owe? I was like, here's the 10 pounds. And he's like, forget about it, mate. Merry Christmas. He drove me all that way for free. And I thought that was really cool.
Nice.
What a Christmas story.
Yeah.
Here,
guys, these
in
aren't
the
podcast stories.
You know, that's a good addition to the Grammar Corner. But I do want to mention one thing kind of related to last week.
You know, you guys both kind of like undermined it and were like, nah, we say bruschetta, we don't give a shit.
Oh,
the other thing. Okay, so there's another one related to Italian.
Okay.
You know the pressed sandwiches?
We lost. We forgot. We don't have any gripes anymore for English grammar. Now we have to go to other languages.
These came up. The pressed sandwiches.
Panini. I know what you're going to say.
Panini.
Go ahead.
And what do you call one of them?
Panino. Yes, I know. Yes. But we still say panini. And
we say, oh, yeah, I got a panini maker. Oh, you got a bread. You got a sandwiches maker. You got sandwiches. You got a breads maker. you're saying the plural, and it's infuriating.
Do you say panino when you order a panino?
Of course, I say panino. I say I will have a panino unless I'm ordering two panini. I mean, it's insanity.
You might say it's insane in the membranous region. As I like
I don't
to say
know about that.
I will say this though. So you know how last week I brought up how I saw some people, a couple people going, or somebody saying something along the lines of Max and I's trip to, you know, yes. Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I feel like we've done this one a few times. But yeah.
I saw something in the past week that somebody did this, which is really weird. Maybe I brought it up before. They did something along the lines of Max and My's trip to Los Angeles.
That's just pure insanity.
Isn't that insane?
That is
why would you think that's correct?
That's what, because we're doing this on Zoom, you might say that's virtual insanity right there.
Max and My's tripped. I mean, that's
ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. It was annoying to see.
Max and My's trip. But I understand how they got to that point, though.
Well, anyway, other...
Yeah, I get the journey, but it's all wrong. It's all just...
And while we're talking about beefs, I got to say, I've heard this quite a bit lately, maybe from one person in particular, but quite frankly. So I'm starting to hate that expression now.
Oh, why? Because of...
Because it's overused.
No, because of... what's his
right,
name?
Right, yeah, exactly.
What's his name?
John Mulaney? To John Mulaney?
Draymond Green.
Draymond Green has a podcast. You know, he's a player for the Golden State Warriors, and he says that. I don't listen to the podcast, but Nikki is constantly listening to basketball, so I overhear it all the time, and he's always going, quite frankly, I don't think these guys, blah, blah. He's always saying quite frankly. It's all the time. It's like, oh, my God. Were you going to lie to us at some point? Is that why you need to say that?
The thing is...
Or not lie, just you don't have to lie to not be talking frankly.
I know, right?
Quite frankly.
Yeah. But, well, speaking of that tip, actually, this isn't a grammar thing, but I'm starting to hate when people say essentially.
Mm.
It makes it sound like you're trying to... And I've been guilty of saying essentially in the past, but... started to not like it because it's like you're trying to make yourself sound more dignified, or what you're about to say more, you know, maybe smarter,
more
or elevated yeah. or eloquent. Yeah. And I just think it's just a filler word that doesn't really mean much. Like, you don't need to say that, you know?
Mm-hmm. All right, we've had enough of it. We've had enough of
it. And we've had enough of Grammar Corner for
but
today.
But interestingly enough, I don't mind the word basically. Because basically doesn't sound that elevated, so it doesn't sound like you're trying to sound elevated.
Right. I like, yeah, that makes sense.
All right. Well, guys, let's get into the main crux of the episode. All right, so what are we going to do for our main topic, guys?
Well, I was thinking, I came up with this idea right before we started, and it kind of fits in with our international talk, actually, right now. But what is your favorite
cuisine?
Cuisine. You know, is it, you know, French, Italian, English,
Mexican.
Perhaps, Mexican? Or is it an Asian style?
So that's a topic
a
for debate.
Topic
is
idea.
I don't know how much debate we're going to get out of that, though. I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
We'll probably all agree that those things are good, you know?
Yeah, but what do you think is the best?
I know, but this is totally opinion-based.
I know. Just thought I'd throw it out there. I mean, I can say Mexican may be my favorite.
Probably
anyway.
Me too. Anyway, Nikon, any topics that you...
Let's see. What do I got here?
Japanese is very good, Cammy. Yes.
What's that?
I just said Japanese is very good, Cammy.
Japanese is good. I mean, you know, yeah, all the cuisines of the world are pretty good. We could talk about cuisines that are just irredeemably meh.
Like what?
I don't know. I got to think. I think Korean barbecue is super overrated.
I do too.
I kind of do too.
You know what?
Damn it.
Every time people are always telling me, they're like, you just haven't had great Korean barbecue. And then they take me to their place and I'm like, just as I expected,
like
my clothes smell now because they had to make it in front of us and it was fine, you know?
It was fine.
I mean, sometimes
it
it's pretty
just fine.
Sometimes
it's
good. Sometimes it can be good and it's filling, but it doesn't blow me away. Like
it's usually overpriced too these days.
Yeah, yeah, agreed.
Oh, definitely.
So, it's not much debate there, because it's just an objective truth.
Okay,
you heard it here first.
Here is a very specific topic for debate.
Okay,
I say that. The only good seasons of The Simpsons are seasons 1 through 8. After that, it's a different show and it's not good anymore. Would you care to debate that?
Yeah, but that's like, who's going to take the other side of that? How
no,
about when
you
do the appropriation?
You seem to always like to...
No, I'm not even going to... I'm not... That's indefensible. Let's do appropriation.
Okay.
Oh, man, this is very... We should have somebody else here, I feel.
No. We're not... Listen, first of all, we're not even talking about a specific culture in this debate. Like, you can.
That's true.
Should, and you shouldn't be afraid to, by the way.
But you shouldn't be afraid of what?
Talk about it.
I am happy to talk about it,
but I feel like...
Yeah, Max, you're too afraid. You gotta not be afraid.
I'm not afraid. I'm saying I feel, though, that we should have somebody from... a culture that might be appropriate.
We're all from minority cultures. We're Persian. You guys are.
We're half Filipino and half Jewish, which
is
also minority.
I mean, I haven't seen anyone.
We all read. Someone would argue we all read white. Which, okay.
although, actually, to be honest, I am.
I mean,
really?
What are you talking about?
I wouldn't
Persian
as white. Actually, I mean.
So I've gotten it from people like, oh,
really?
You can't, like, it's the whole, like, you're not allowed to do this or that because you read white type of thing.
Is it because of the way you talk? I don't know. I mean,
I don't know. I think it's because I don't,
what does that even
mean?
I don't agree with that.
I'm aware.
I don't even agree with that.
I'm aware that certain people feel that way and therefore I got to at least say it, but I don't agree with it.
Well, then let's, I like it. Let's do it.
All right. Let's get kind of controversial here, I guess. Okay.
We haven't even said anything.
I'm just saying, I'm putting it out there. Disclaimer, this might be a controversial episode.
It's not going to be controversial because unless you're going to make it controversial.
Just for that, you have to take the pro appropriation.
Well, I have a lot to say. What do you mean? That's easy, actually, to take
pro appropriation. Yeah, if you're pro-appropriation.
Oh, so you're pro-appropriation?
You're pro-appropriation? Wow.
I drink Propecia. Is that what it was called?
Okay. Propecia?
Is that what it's called?
So who's taking what sides? Nikki was the referee last time, so I
was the referee.
Oh, very easy for you, Nikon. I'm going to come up with this idea of appropriation, and I just will be the neutral person.
I'm not afraid. What? Okay, fine. You want to be... Yeah. Okay, so... Max referee?
Okay, sure.
Max seems the most uncomfortable to talk.
Are you going
to
be a just referee?
No. I'll chime in for sure. I already have stuff to say, actually.
Okay. So, Nikki, what do you what side do you want to take?
I got to take pro on this one.
Okay.
Really? Right,
I'll take anti, because I'm pro myself, but, you know, for the sake of the argument, which...
I will say for the most part, I would say...
The referee is doing the opening.
I'm just doing what you just did. You said I am actually pro, but I'm going to take it for the sake of it. So I'm just saying. A lot of times I will say I am pro, but there are specific times, and I can understand why that would be. Actually,
as we always do, let's start with some baseline. Like we're not saying. I'm not saying appropriation. We're not talking about like blackface. That's not appropriation.
No, right? I don't consider that appropriation. I would never even go on record. I wouldn't even have gone there. But I mean, I'm saying.
I know,
like,
but I'm just saying. Like, why are you like? There's a reason you're kind of like cowering away from the topic. And I was like, I think a lot of people associate the word appropriation with things like blackface, which is maybe it's on the spectrum.
I put that as just something
somebody
separate.
Somebody might say like dreadlocks is a form of appropriation, though. You know,
let's start with that.
Absolutely, yeah. That's something that or cornrows even actually
or cornrows.
Anyway,
sure, yeah. Okay,
But
let's define it a little then. So it's definitely not blackface. who wants to define appropriation?
I would say just it's taking from another culture. Using it to benefit yourself.
Not necessarily benefit.
I don't know. How would you describe it? I don't know.
Yeah, I would just. I think it's just at its core taking. From a culture that isn't yours, taking elements from a culture that isn't yours and incorporating it into your own
identity.
Expression,
but in a lot of ways, you're celebrating. Anyway, that would okay.
Well, do actually, we vaguely agree on that?
Yeah, so like just yeah, a, yeah. as a side note, it's kind of interesting to see this on Wikipedia's article. They're already. Putting something negative in their definition on Wikipedia, saying cultural appropriation is the inappropriate or unacknowledged adoption of an
inappropriate. I don't agree with that definition.
So that's an interesting thing that Wikipedia put in there. I mean, Wikipedia. Yeah, anyone could, you know, change a Wikipedia just so you know.
Well, anyway.
Let's react to that, Nikki. That could be your starting argument.
Okay, well, first of all, I don't think appropriation has to be negative. It's in a lot of cases, it's positive. People who are appropriating something from another culture are often celebrating that thing. And, you know, I'll take music as an example. People got down on a lot of 60s rock music for appropriating blues music, which came from the African-American experience. And yes, often that stuff wasn't credited. And I do agree that maybe credit should be put toward the thing that you're appropriating from. But I do think that the evolution of culture is combining influences from different cultures. You know, I mean, it's not, you're not going to be uniquely one thing. And even look at me and Max, we're mutts as far as our racial makeup goes. And so we're influenced even in our own genetics by a myriad of, or not a myriad, but by different traits. Oh, God, I'm losing here.
I understand. You're basically saying we get influence from other things, and we right. choose to incorporate certain things from different parts of our identity into our own experience.
Right, and as we evolve as people, there's just going to be more influences from different aspects of different cultures. I would say right now, hip hop is probably the biggest form of pop.
you're saying, I mean, there's a lot of good points here, but that's a good opening statement already as it stands.
All right.
Nikon, your opening statement.
Opening statements. This is a tough one to take this side on. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
I guess I would say.
Oh, I'm done on my thing here, actually.
Okay.
Your phone's dead.
Or there's not enough. Yeah.
I guess I would say, okay, here's my concern with the slippery slope that appropriation leads you down, which is that if we can't hold certain elements of our cultures close to our hearts or whatever, close to our identities, then over time they will lose their potency and they will just become kind of I don't want to say whitewashed, because that
I wouldn't say that
demonizes the whites, but yeah, it kind of it blunts the uniqueness of those cultural touchstones. And and then also the I don't know, I don't agree with any of this shit that I'm saying. Like, I would not.
I mean,
dude,
everything
debate.
You're saying, I could argue against right now. Yeah,
Nikki, I know.
And all right, it's interesting.
That basically, Nikon, what he just said
because Nikki, you were like touching on this thing about like, you know, well, you should. The whole video is choppy. Nick, you were saying like, well, you know, in certain cases, you should give credit to those from whom you've appropriated or whatever. But it's like, even that, like, where do you draw the line? Like,
right. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. Nikon. What you just said.
This is going to be a short debate, guys.
The way you just said, I would argue against it by saying, you're basically arguing for the purification of cultures, you know, which is a bad thing. You know, that's kind of regressing in society, in evolution.
Actually.
And so I would say that the natural flow of evolution is that we do incorporate different characteristics from different cultures. And that's just the way you know, when I was in France, my homestay mother once said, and something I disagree with, she said, you know, they say by the year 2050 that there will be more Muslims in France than Catholics. And she said, isn't that a terrible thing? And I was thinking to myself, no, that's just part of the way things evolve. I mean, at one point, Islam was the predominant religion in that part of the world, you know, during the Ottoman Empire. And so
this might require further study, but I'm just looking at the Wikipedia that Max referenced. And I'm trying to find like a foothold. Like I'm trying to think, okay, I can't think of a good argument. Maybe it's in Wikipedia. And there isn't. There's no, it's all just like
those are words that have never been spoken.
Well,
considered harmful.
Can I show?
Wait, hold on. Let him finish.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry. Well, I thought he was
still
looking.
It's all just weak, feely, like, I don't know.
Can I do, I'll put something out there. What about, let's talk about cornrows or dreadlocks. Now, throughout a lot of media's history, black people have been made to feel that their hair was not good enough the way it was. You know, you'd see images of straight hair for the longest time, and the way that maybe certain black people had, I don't want to say, well, maybe coped with that or thought, okay, I'm going to try to make my hair that has been perceived as not beautiful, try to make it look beautiful by turning it, using, you know, making it into cornrows or
afro.
That I would say afro, that was kind of in the 70s when, or late 60s when they started to embrace,
you know, so that's what I'm trying to say.
That was like,
I think I figured it out. I think the part that we are perhaps being insensitive to is that exactly what you're speaking to.
Yes.
Max, which is like, I've spent my whole life being told I don't look good enough or whatever. And now there's this white guy. No, I'm saying as a black, whatever.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Right.
And now there's this blonde kid who's got his hair in dreadlocks. And it's less of like a rational, like, well, you know, okay, he should be able to do that. Or like, oh, maybe he's like, you know, he admires a certain aesthetic and he's copying it. But to me, that individual, not me, because I'm, what I'm feeling is a resentment about all this shit that I have to deal with. And I can't escape through my blondness or whiteness. And this kid is just, you know, treating it like a whole whatever, like it's a temporary tattoo, you know, for him to
Right.
You know, it's.
And
that's a.
And great. They're utilizing this thing, to try and make themselves. It's like, exactly.
Whatever you just said. Whatever the reason is, whatever you want to rationalize it as, like, oh, you know, it's a form of admiration, or like, oh, there's clearly something that like he admires about your culture or whatever. I don't care about that, because what I am experiencing, not me again, this person.
It came out of struggle, basically. Yeah, it came out of, it came out of feeling inferior, basically.
And what sparked that for me is in this Wikipedia thing. I'm looking at a picture of a white blonde woman wearing like a t-shirt and sexy shorts and like a Native American headpiece.
Oh my goodness.
And
see, that's also,
On some level I'm like, okay, you know, it's an aesthetic thing, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But then I read the word disrespectful and it's like, oh, it's because it's like in that culture, you don't just put on a headpiece because you like the way it looks.
Right.
Like, it's like,
It's a symbolic thing.
It's a symbolic thing that,
and also
earned and has a lot of,
it's earned,
like spiritual and respect tied to it and all that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of, I don't know.
Well, okay, here's the thing about it. I've got some things to say. On the one hand, yes, I agree that can be just perceived as disrespectful. And in fact, if you look at the movie 10 with Dudley Moore and Bo Derek is famous for having these braided, or these like cornrows kind of
braids
as a white, beautiful woman running,
blue-eyed woman
running down the beach.
I mean, she is beautiful.
And,
she is.
And this was in the late 70s. And, you could say, yes, she's appropriating this, you know, what would be commonly held
to character. That's also a character, right? So
right. Well, but the,
as is Gary Oldman's character in True Romance.
Right, but no, but
that's different. That's different.
Character was iconic. Her running down the beach, that was on posters, you know.
As the kind of epitome of beauty, basically.
Yeah, sex symbol, you know? And so, but I do think in the long run, over time, as we evolve, I think those things that were maybe thought of as offensive at one point, I think eventually appropriating those things, we're going to get past a point where things will just mix and it doesn't matter what you do or how you talk or how you look. It's just going to be an aesthetic thing. If you like the way you look, that's fine.
Well,
if you don't,
I will
then you don't.
Say yes in
I
that.
Think we agree there.
I think yes in that now, I would say black people are made to feel, well, I don't know, maybe not all the time. And it's still, we still need progress there, but, they've embraced their hair more often now and, say, hey, this looks beautiful too. And so I think maybe, you know, as you said, Nikki, over maybe more, as more time goes by, people will just think of braids as just, you know, it's not appropriating any culture thing, but it's just an option, basically. Sure.
I think that is the hope. And that is, like, again, the rationalist view and the ideal state of things. But I just come back to the current state of things.
Right.
Where history is still very much hasn't been dealt with properly.
Right.
There
still
is a lot of pain and there still is a lot of frustration and resentment. And it's all, you know, it's we can't. Yeah. So while yes, we should all strive to be in a whatever, like everybody
utopian kind of.
Yeah, Sam Harris likes to say, like, you know, we all, like, we think about the color of each other's skin the same way we think about the color of each other's hair, right? Like nobody's like concerned about, you know, whether Harvard has a certain number of redheads in its graduating class,
right?
Right. So that is the goal, but
right.
We're not there yet.
With that, no.
Okay.
All I would argue is that we should be a little more
sensitive.
You know, sensitive when practicing appropriation with care.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting.
Sure.
This one time, I was on Facebook several years ago, and this friend of mine shared an article from Pitchfork about a girl who had said that she liked Vampire Weekend's music but felt uncomfortable liking it because they appropriated these African sounds, and her understanding, they didn't give any credit to the things they're appropriating. Now, I commented on my friend's post and said, I disagree with this article. First of all, I do think Vampire Weekend has stated very, very often that they are influenced by African music. And,
but also they shouldn't have to, is my stance.
Right. They shouldn't have to. Yes. And
it's nice of them. It's thoughtful. That
and
they
more
did.
So, I think they're not even influenced by African music. I think they're just influenced by Paul Simon.
Graceland.
Paul Simon is the interesting. What I used to hear was that Graceland was not appropriation. Again, I have no problem with, but apparently, and this is like I heard this 50 years ago. Apparently, he exploited African musicians for the stuff that they did on the album, which I have no idea if that's true. I could have just been someone.
Well, no, I think that
Africans.
He actually put some of these African musicians on the map. Actually, yeah. He made them more well known on an international basis. Like, what was it? Lady Smith,
Black Mambazo. Because they were in on his album, used extensively on it. They became famous in their own right, becoming world touring musicians. And so not only did he spread this music of theirs by incorporating it into his own pop aesthetic, but not only did he spread the word about them, but they also became, he spread the word about them. And so they became famous because of that.
Anyway,
you
know? So
whoever said that was wrong.
I argued on this Facebook post, hey, I said my word, and this other person said, no, you're totally wrong. You're never allowed to do this. I was like, why not? I was like, well, then you just wouldn't even play the Beatles ever, probably. And the person said, it's the exact reason why I don't listen to the Beatles. I'm like, okay, you are just so ignorant and your line of thinking is so narrow-minded that you can't have a discussion with this kind of person.
You can't participate in discourse on social media.
Well, here's another.
Okay, I know you can't.
I'm going to just bring up two different examples.
But I mean, the thing is, the Beatles they not only were influenced by, you know, blues music, but classical music, French music. You know, I mean, they were influenced by so many different styles, and they incorporated it into their sound that was so eclectic that you just think,
yeah, no, it's a completely backwards minded. It's like saying, okay, so we all acknowledge that you can't be an artist without being influenced by other things,
right?
Artists, mm-hmm. right? So basically what someone who is saying, don't appropriate other cultures in art is don't patronize other cultures. Don't
right.
take an interest in other cultures.
Right.
Because God forbid they'll influence you.
Right.
And you'll use that in your work, and then you'll be accused of being an appropriator.
Right.
And it's a compliment,
and you're right
actually.
You're right to say we shouldn't have to credit the influences, because sometimes you are, you know, unknowingly influenced.
Unaware
that you're being influenced, but you are exactly patronizing these different styles.
You should be focused on making work, not like taking apart every single thing you do and thinking where it came from and all that
well,
kind of
here,
stuff.
Well, here's where I'm just going to put a little... I'm just going to do a little counter argument here, play the devil's advocate a little bit. Pat Boone became really famous in the, I think, late 50s and early 60s, and he was appropriating songs by Little Richard and other black artists, but they were really watered down versions of them. And
was he appropriating them or was he covering them?
Well, okay, let's talk about the difference here. I mean,
covering is like you should be able to cover anyone as long as they're getting royalties for it, which
okay,
I know a lot of them didn't at the time.
Yes, but here's the deal yeah. about that, though, is, well, he was covering them, yes. But the thing about it is he became, I can understand some as a black artist at the time, he became, you know, a big time seller. You know, he was white and was able
big time seller. What a weird
like
way
record
to say.
Seller, record sales. And I know it was a weird thing to say, big time seller. But hey, big spender, hey, big seller, actually. I can understand maybe somebody who is a black artist thinking, you know, this guy is able to play in all parts of the country, especially at that time, and using my song. And actually, Little Richard didn't do very, he wasn't very wise with his management of his, you know, catalog when he was younger. So he wasn't getting the royalties actually from those things. And so, you know, I can understand him feeling maybe probably resentful that, oh, why is this guy able to have his stuff played in all parts of America because he's white and I'm black and that's not able to happen for me. Now, history has done a good job, I think, of recognize, like, I didn't know about Pat Boone really until college, actually. Yet I knew about Little Richard since I was, well, little, actually. And I knew, like, the importance
Shut
of
up,
little,
Joey.
I knew the importance
he
of
was
Little
on
Richard
Full House.
for a long time. And I think maybe, I think history has done a good job of recognizing the importance of Little Richard over the, you know, I don't think anyone regards Pat Boone really with that much importance in music history. So
that's a good point.
Even though his history, daughter, Debbie Boone, was famous for her song You Light Up My Life, which I believe was the number one single of the 70s, if I'm not...
No, not of the whole 70s?
According to Billboard magazine, I believe.
I don't believe that's true. Though. I think 1970s that year, 1978 or 1977 maybe. But anyway, I guess the point is like... I think it's different depending on the time period it's in, you know. I mean, I'm sure, you know, by the way, that article you're talking about, you know, that you commented on Facebook, Nikki, the woman who wrote it, at the end of the article, she said, however, in the end, my father's music was meant for people to just enjoy. And if people are going to appropriate it and let the sound to just be enjoyed, then he did his job and I'm okay with it in the end. She actually resolved in the end that it was okay.
Right. But which makes the whole article sort of pointless, maybe, but maybe not. Actually, no, in retrospect, maybe it's a talking through of your
issues. It's kind of just talking through your feelings. And I also kind of understand, sure, maybe she also wants her father to be celebrated and just wants to put his name out there, actually. Yeah, like, okay, hey, this person is, you know, important.
But, you know, you could, my problem with the article was that she was saying that Vampire Weekend was directly influenced by her father's music, but she's just surmising that. She doesn't know that for sure. Anyway.
Right. Well, also,
just because it sounds like.
Also, I think part of what, you know, America's music, like jazz music, for instance, I mean, that's been appropriated into so many different things. I mean, hip hop into, I know that's, you know, the cultures are the same there, but I mean, it's been appropriated into rock music, into, you know, all sorts of music, and jazz itself is an amalgamation of different styles of music. You know, there's blues, that's there's Western classical music,
ragtime.
There's Cuban music, there's ragtime, there's just, and there's some folk even in there sometimes. And, yes, I just think, and the funny thing about jazz, especially bebop, their original intention, although this might just be hearsay, was, oh, sorry, Nikki's saying move on, but black people, I think they wanted to create a music that they can't play, basically, meaning white people, because they were unfairly compensated at the time, you know, based on their color of their skin. But then eventually, you know, white people had to hear it. They heard it, and some of them could play. And the black people were like, hey, I got a hat. Got my hat's off to these guys. Some of these guys can really cook, you know? So the music of it all trumped it all. You know, it didn't matter. In the end, it was just, hey, the music's beautiful. We just let it be, I guess, was the point. I guess, something like that.
So what was that? Where does that fall into this whole thing?
I don't know.
I guess
he was
rambling
for a while, and
I guess what I'm saying is, in the end, those black musicians who were creating this music for themselves at first recognized in the end, well, if you can play it, then let it be. Just, you know.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
What are you trying to say? What?
I don't. Maybe. I don't know. That seemed like a very simple. I don't know. I don't know where it lands on the appropriations.
What I'm saying is, white musicians appropriating jazz. So, and they were okay with it in the end.
Who was they? You
black
can't say
people,
they were
the black musicians.
Maybe there were some who aren't okay.
Right,
with
I know, Max. See, you, yeah.
Oh, that's true, but I think
I don't think that would be the case today, though.
No, that's not true. There was so, you know, that, like, Charlie Parker, one of the innovators of bebop music, he played with white guys. He had Buddy Rich was in his
band. No, of course. I'm just saying
blanket
Charlie
statement.
Parker doesn't speak for all black musicians.
Right. Okay, that's fair, but I think
it's just like, I get it. Yes.
But
I mean,
what I'm saying is Charlie Parker as
a
representative.
Same thing a bunch of times over and over again.
Okay, but I'm saying Charlie Parker is a representative. He's probably the biggest representative of jazz, I would say. And same with Dizzy Gillespie. He played
with
white guys.
I think if you can use specific names, that's better.
Okay.
But I think.
Right.
But Max, you just think, did. We don't need to recover it. We've talked about this, like, the one anecdote for the last 10 minutes.
All right. Fair enough.
Finally, do we have closing thoughts? Or Max, you had another thing you wanted to say, right? You had two stories you wanted to tell.
I don't think Max could fit in two stories.
Oh,
right now.
Just what you were saying, though, by the way, just to say, I'm saying, yes, of course I can't speak for all black musicians.
No, of course.
Of course not.
Yeah.
You can't speak for or any other culture that's being appropriated. But the whole argument is that I'm saying we're speaking about our own opinion, right? Isn't that the whole idea here? Because in the end, you know, you guys are arguing for the case that appropriation is fine, right? And other people are going to disagree with you, of course. So, and give maybe legitimate reasons as to why that they disagree, that not all cases. And we ourselves are giving some legitimate reasons why, you know, appropriation can be insensitive at times, you know, particularly with fashion choices, maybe. Is anybody getting this?
Right.
I just feel like we're retreading a lot of ground. Right
we
now.
Are retreading.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, in the end, well, yeah, this is a debate. We're going to have, there's, of course.
I feel like we've lost the debate part. I don't know what we're talking about anymore. Right.
Well, I don't know what you're talking. We lost it a long time ago when you, I'm afraid you couldn't come up with arguments against your own feeling about
no,
it.
No, right? I think I made a pretty good point with the whole, like, it's not about what we can rationalize away. Okay, so this is my closing
argument. About being sensitive to it.
Yeah, it's not about, like, yes, we can rationally point to this goal of, like, living in a raceless society, but we're not there yet, and people carry their histories and their pains with them. And again, I would just go back to the specific example of, like, let's say a Native American person who's had their who's had their culture and their history taken away from them, and you see some, you know, 20-year-old girl wearing a headdress and, like, making the, you know, the war cry sound, and It's not, even if that person isn't intending to, like, caricaturize my culture, it just, it's kind of like a fuck you to me, right? As that Native American person. That's my
right. Argument. Well, I would say, so my clip, Max, you got to let everybody else speak.
What are you talking about? By the way, most of the time, actually, I was letting you speak, but anyway, go ahead. I just had just one.
You got to agree, Max talked so long just now, right?
Yeah, I don't want to that was gang up on him, but yes.
That was the only time that I was able to really speak, though. I really was letting
you
speak.
Well, you're the moderator. Well, whatever.
The moderator should be able to speak, too. I mean, what are you talking about?
You spoke. Don't worry.
My closing argument would be, yes, I agree with you, Nikon, on that we should be sensitive to the way different cultures feel about the appropriation. But I will say that I don't think the ultimate goal is that we live in a raceless society necessarily. I think that we live in a society where we can appreciate different cultures and we can celebrate them through our appropriation of those but to a point where maybe we're not completely void of sensitivity toward them, I guess. Well, right.
Or I mean, maybe the hope, I think we're arriving at a consensus here, but it's like, it's not to live in a race-free society, but to live in a society where anybody of any identity has, there's no memory. There's no recent enough memory of a pain for there right. to be any resentment when someone else appropriates your
right.
culture.
Okay. Yes. I agree with that. Yeah.
I also will say that, like a white woman wearing this Native American headdress, just to support what you were saying, that woman is not celebrating necessarily what that headdress means in that culture. She's not celebrating it. Whereas somebody who might be appropriating a certain type of music is actually celebrating.
Sure. Or not even celebrating, but incorporating it into their aesthetic. So we're saying, I mean, yeah, I think that's a good point. That there are forms of appropriation. There's celebratory appropriation. There are mindless caricaturization appropriation. I guess that's another dimension of it. It's like, when appropriating, you should do it in a respectful way.
You should do it in an appropriate way.
In an appropriate
well, here's the thing, though.
Appropriate appropriation.
I almost kind of disagree with this. This white woman wearing a Native American headdress, I think with time, if she just likes the way it looks, and if she doesn't understand the meaning behind it necessarily, I don't know. I have a hard time grappling with the fact that that's wrong. I think that, sure, when we're in a time where that's still a touchy thing, maybe you have to understand what you're doing when you're wearing this. But eventually we do get to a point where, oh, you could just wear anything, and if you like the way it looks, it's fine. It doesn't matter what it represented hundreds of years
Wait,
ago.
Wait, are you saying right now it's not appropriate right now because of the marginalization?
It elicits these
minorities
feelings
and but in the future, when hopefully that hopefully resolves in a certain way, in every way, then even though she's not respecting the what that symbolizes, then it's okay. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Uh-huh.
But in the meantime, I just think it has to be done respectfully.
Right, it has to be done respectfully, yeah.
Well, what do you... I mean, this is not a final... I mean, I guess we should just close it off right now.
We already did.
Well, I was just going to say, but what about like a... You know, for a while, there was like those kind of kimono like tops. Yeah. You know, those were a big thing in fashion for a little bit. And that is a form of cultural appropriation, but, you know, I don't know. How do you feel about that? I know that's kind of...
it's a good point because like you fall into this like, well, can you blame someone for being ignorant? Like what if a kimono was some kind of like highly important thing that only a certain, you know, like spiritual type of leader in a certain culture was allowed to wear? And here you are just buying it off the rack at H&M, not aware of it, not aware. You're just like, I like the pattern. I think I like the silkiness. I like whatever. I like the colors. I don't know. It's interesting. It's interesting.
Right. It actually reminds me of a Curb Enthusiasm episode where Larry teaches this boy, the son of the woman he's dating, about a swastika. And he doesn't know what the meaning of that is.
Yeah.
And he buys him a sewing machine for his birthday, and he ends up sewing a swastika, like a swastika patch, because he likes the way it looks. He has idea it represents the Nazi
he's
party
this
at all.
Innocent kid, he's like, I like the zigzag of it, or
yeah,
something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I like
yeah the that's zig- a great. That's the most extreme version of that. Yes,
it is the most extreme version of it.
Yeah, he's ignorant of the meaning behind this thing, you know?
Yeah.
But in a way that there's something sort of...
Yes, but I will say the difference there is nobody, unless they are neo-Nazis, you're basically saying, we're talking about appropriation here.
No, I know, but I'm just using this as an example of being ignorant about the meaning of...
No, I get it. I get what you're saying, but...
Anyway,
I guess we can all agree, as Nikon said.
Yeah, I think this is the closest we've come to like a consensus. Like I feel like we all kind of changed our positions all towards the same direction.
Right. Well, perhaps we did need to do a little studying up a little bit before the episode, but we did it during the episode.
Well, never.
Yeah, I actually kind of settled on exactly what I think what I came into it thinking about actually, which is that in certain scenarios, it might be a little touchy of an issue actually. And you should, be respectful of that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yes.
But if you like what you heard and saw today, make sure to hit the subscribe button on YouTube. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're listening on any other podcast platform, please rate and review us if you have that ability. Thank you for tuning into another edition of Splitting Hairs with Max, Nikki, and Nikon. So long.
So long.